This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا ما يهده الله فلا مضل له وما يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات ربه وسلامه عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن دعا بدعوته إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. Beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks to us in the Holy Quran. Allah says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, مَا يُطْعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَصِدِّقِينَ وَشُهَدَاءِ وَصَالِحِينَ وَحَسُنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا. صدق الله العظيم. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us in a famous hadith, إِنَّ الدِّينَ النَّصِيحَةِ إِنَّ الدِّينَ النَّصِيحَةِ. Prophet said it three times. إِنَّ الدِّينَ النَّصِيحَةِ إِنَّ الدِّينَ النَّصِيحَةِ. Prophet ﷺ said that the deen of Islam is a deen of nasiha. So the Sahaba asked the Nabi ﷺ, Ya Rasulullah, liman? For who is the nasiha? And what does the word nasiha mean? The Prophet ﷺ said, this deen is a nasiha lillahi ولكتابه ولنبيه وليأمة المسلمين وعامتهم أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم said this deen is being faithful and being sincere. To who? To Allah, the Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم said. To his Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to the leaders of Islam and the Muslims, and to the whole community of Muslims. So our first responsibility is to be sincere and faithful to Allah and His deen, and to make this faithfulness and sincerity a part of our daily lives in our approach to Islam. The Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "May yuti' Allah wa Rasul," the person, the one who is obedient to Allah and His Messenger, verily, he will be amongst those whom Allah has blessed and graced, in that he on the day of judgment will be with the prophets, the truthful ones, the martyrs, the pious ones. وَحَسُنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا. And what better company would you want on the day of Qiyamah than being with the prophets and the martyrs? Subhanallah. And what do you have to do to be in the company of the martyrs and the prophets? You have to be obedient to Allah and His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now it's always a joy for me and a pleasure for me to celebrate the day of Jum'ah, and to celebrate the hour of Jum'ah. Before I come to Jum'ah, I'm in a good mood until probably sometimes when I get to Jum'ah. And I'm in this good mood because I feel that I'm going now to the masjid to carry out that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded me to do. I take a bath, put scent on, cut my nails, put my clothes on, mashallah. Because this is what Allah wants from me. This is what He has spoken about in His Quran. This is what His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had left for us. تَرَكْتُ فِيكُمْ مَا إِنْ تَمَسَّكْتُمْ بِهِمَا كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَسُنَّتِ. Prophet said, I've left for you two things after my death. I've left two things for you. The Quran and the Sunnah. And if you cling to these two things, لَنْ تَضِلُّ أَبَدًا. You will never go astray. Impossible to go astray. It's impossible for you to go astray. Now, what did he leave for us, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What is it that he left for us in reality? He left for us a deen called Islam. A beautiful, perfect way of life. Something which we as a community, as an ummah, as a nation, as individuals can be proud of. And we are proud of our deen. But what is this Islam which Allah and His Prophet had given to us as a gift? What is it? Is it for me to tell you what Islam is? Is it for me to describe Islam to you? Or do we leave it to Allah and His Messenger to tell us what Islam is? Because today, unfortunately, there are so many varied interpretations and faces of Islam that we forget the original Islam. We forget the Islam which was brought by Muhammad, which will never change on the day of Qiyamah. But the Prophet has warned us about that. He said, "Bada in al-Islam bada ghariban." Islam will start strange. وَسَيَعُودُ غَرِيبًا. And Islam will again become strange. فَطُوبَ لِلْغُرَبَى. So glad tidings to the strangers. So the Sahaba asked, "Ya Rasulullah, who are the strangers? Who will the strangers be?" He said, "أُولَٰئِكَ يَصْلُحُونَ عِنْدَ فَسَادِ النَّاسِ." He said, the strangers will be those who will preach the good, those who will do the good when people have gone astray, when people have left the deen of Islam, when people have changed it, when people have replaced it, when people have added to it, when people have deducted from it. So what is Islam? Famous hadith of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala. And you know the hadith, when a man came to the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the masjid, his clothes were whiter than white. His hair was blacker than black. He didn't have the signs of travel on him. And nobody knew him. None of the Sahaba knew him. And he sat down in front of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with his knees against the knees of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, "Oh Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell me, what is Islam?" So now we will hear, what is Islam? And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told this man, "Al-Islam, an tu'minu billah." No. What is Islam? An tashhad, an la ilaha illallah, wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, wa tuqima as-salah, wa tu'ti az-zakah, wa tasuma Ramadan, wa tahujjul bayt, man in istata'ta ilayhi sabila. He said, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what is Islam? Islam is to believe in Allah, to bear witness that there is none worthy of worship except Allah. To bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger and slave of Allah. To perform the salah. To give the zakah. To fast in the month of Ramadan. And to perform hajj if you are able to perform hajj. And then he asked the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is iman? And the messenger said, "Al-Iman an tu'minu billahi wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi wa rusuli wal yawm al-akhir wa qadri khayri wa sharri min Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." He said, iman is to believe in Allah, to believe in the angels, to believe in the books, to believe in the messengers, and to believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed good and evil. And then he asked, what is ihsan? What is ihsan? Goodness, purity. Ihsan, what is ihsan? Ihsan, an ta'bud Allah ka'annaka tara, fa'in lam takun tara, fa'innahu yarak. Ihsan is to worship Allah as if you can see Him. For verily, if you cannot see Him, He can see you. So these three things form the wall and roof of Islam. Islam, iman, and ihsan. Mahmud al-Hasan. You may not have heard of him. One of the great savants of Islam in the Indo-Pak subcontinent. Died in the early part of the century. He was asked, what is the causes of the decline of Muslims in the world? And he answered very simply. He said the decline of Muslims in the world is because they have become alienated from the Quran and they are busy infighting amongst themselves. Alienation from the Quran and fighting amongst themselves about petty issues. So we have learned now that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us the ingredients of our faith. He also told us that Islam will become strange to who? To Muslims. Today we have added a fourth one to Islam, Iman and Ihsan. We've added the word spirituality. Today I'm going to talk about this word spirituality. Everything today is spirituality. Everything people do today is about spirituality. Is this part of Islam? Does Islam teach us spirituality? Is Islam devoid of spirituality? Islam against spirituality? First of all, we ask ourselves the question, what is the definition of spirituality? In Islam, there is no definition of spirituality. In fact, in Islam, the word itself doesn't, the Prophet never used the word ruhaniyya. Neither is it mentioned in the Quran, not even once. In 23 years of prophethood, the Prophet never ever mentioned the word ruhaniyya or spirituality. It is non-existent in Islam. It's an imported fashion that has come to us in this modern age. Why is it an imported fashion? So, if there is no spirituality in Islam, then what is Islam then? First, what is spirituality? Spirituality is, I'm sure you watch Sunday mornings, Issues of Faith, so many programs. All of them speak about spirituality. Somebody sitting in a garden next to a fountain, closed eyes, crossed legs, spirituality. Somebody else paints his face and goes into a temple and says it's spirituality. So Muslims look at all this and they say, but where are we? You know, aren't we also a faith? Shouldn't we also have spirituality? Where is our spirituality? So people ask, where is our spirituality? And unfortunately, people have used this to mislead Muslims. Because why are we here? Why is Islam here and why are we here? And what is the center of our faith? Why does Islam not speak about spirituality? Why? Because we have Iman and Taqwa. Spirituality, you can't show anybody spirituality. You can't say, this is the way you must get spirituality. No. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 13 years in Makkah, he didn't make salah, nor did he give zakah, nor did he fast in Ramadan, nor did he go for hajj. For 13 years, he preached only one word, Iman and Islam. In other words, Iman is more important than everything else in the world. Salah became fard in Medina. Fasting became fard in Medina. Hajj became fard in Medina. Salah became fard. All these things became fard. 13 years. The Prophet's life and the Sahaba was built on the essence of faith, of Iman. Iman in who? Iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Spirituality. Are we spiritual beings? Did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create us as spiritual beings? Or are we called human beings? Which one is it? Are they spiritual beings? Yes, Allah created spiritual beings. They're called malaika. لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم وَيَفْعَلُونَ مَا يُؤْمَرُونَ. Allah says about the angels, they carry out the commands of Allah to the letter. And they never disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They spiritual beings from the day they were created until the day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will let them die. We are human beings. And why are we here? To become spiritual? Is that the purpose? Somebody becomes spiritual. What do you mean become spiritual? Should I sit in the magic, close my eyes? Should I put off the light and stand and swing from one side to the other? Is that spirituality? Is my spirituality having a spiritual guide or leader or person? And all these spiritual guides and leaders and persons come to the shores of this country and they all tell us the same message. I'm different from you. I have contacts which you don't have. I can get things done for you with a master which you can't get done by yourself. I speak to the dead and the dead helps me. The dead plays a role in our lives. Muhammad al-Ghazali, the great Azhari scholar, he wrote a book, Aqidatul Muslim, the belief of a Muslim. And he was asked the question, can the dead help us? Can the dead help the living? Has the dead a role to play in the lives of people? And he said, I want to give you an example. He said, Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu was the grandson of who? Of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said Sayyidina Hussein couldn't help himself when he was alive at Karbala. How is he going to help when he's dead? He couldn't help himself, save himself on the day of Karbala. So how is he going to help us when he's dead? Muhammad al-Ghazali radiallahu. May Allah be pleased with you. Why are we here? Ask Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ask him. He said, when a Bedouin asked him, man of the desert, simple man came to him and said, Ya Rasulullah, why were you sent? Why did Allah send you? Allah sent 124,000 Anbiya before you. You are superfluous in a sense. Why do you come? What is your purpose? And he said, Ana bu'istu li utammima makarim al-akhlaq. Did he say, I've come to create a community of spiritual beings? No. He said, I have come to perfect and complete the character of man, the dignity of man, the honor of man. I've come to bring about an ummah, a community who will be just, who will be fair. A community who will concentrate on islahul ard, reforming the world, establishing peace and justice on the world. We are told to pray 5 times every day in the masjid. When it's finished, you go home or go to your job, go to your wife and go to your children. La rahbaniyata fil Islam. We don't have monkery and nunnery in Islam. We only have one retreat, 10 days in the month of Ramadan. That is the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Bu'istu li'utammima makarim al-akhlaq. I was sent to perfect. What does it mean? It means that we, my dear brothers and sisters, are here to lead the world. Politically, economically, socially, spiritually, that's our job. The Sahaba alayhi wasallam, if there was such a thing as spirituality in Islam, they would have stayed in Medina and sat at the Prophet's mosque next to his grave to get what the people call barakah. What did they do? What did they do, my dear brothers? They all left. Barring a few of them, the majority of the Sahaba left Medina, left the precincts of the Prophet's mosque, left his grave. Would you do that if you had a choice? The spiritualists will say, no. We'll sit next to the graveyard for the rest of our lives. All the barakah is here. No, that's not the job of a Muslim. Job of a Muslim is to go out into the world and to change it for the better. Even if he only starts in his own house. And we know the story of the man who sat in the masjid the whole day making dhikr. And Umar came, took out his whip and whipped the man. And said, get out of the masjid. And Umar asked him, why? Who's feeding you? He said, I have an arrangement with my brother. He works and I make dhikr. What nonsense is this? You are commanded to pray 5 times a day, not sit in the masjid. No. And when the man wanted to beg, what did he say? Yes, an axe. Go and work. Spirituality. An imported fad which people feed on. Doesn't exist in Islam. We have heard Islam, Iman, Taqwa, Ihsan. Because what is the purpose of our lives, my dear brothers? Where do we want to go from here with this Islam and this Iman? Where do you want to go? Is there anywhere where it says you will enter Jannah by spirituality? In which deen? In which deen? In this deen? In this deen of Allah? What did the Prophet say? What is the key to paradise? You know it. What is the key to spirituality? What is the key to paradise? As-salatu miftahul jannah. Salah is the key to, and that is where you want to be. No. There is no amal called spirituality. Doesn't exist. So these people come here, and some of them claim to be descendants of the Prophet. Somebody asked me to speak about this. And I don't want to speak about it disparagingly because there are people who are related to the family of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And may Allah bless them for that. And if there's any reward for it, may Allah grant them the reward for it. But the greater reward is not to be a descendant of Muhammad, but to be of the Ummah of Muhammad. The great reward is not to be of the family of Muhammad, but to be of the Ummah of Muhammad. There are many who can claim to be of the family of the Prophet. But they've never followed the Sunnah nor the Quran. I'm proud to be of the Ummah of Muhammad. But let me say something about claiming to be a descendant of the Prophet. We know the Prophet had 5 children. Kulthum, Ruqayya, Zainab, and Fatima. He had 2 sons who passed away. All his daughters preceded him in death. Zainab passed away on the day of Badr. Kulthum passed away. All of them, their children died in infancy. Fatima only had 2 children. 3 children. Fatima had Hassan, Hussein, and Kulthum. Kulthum was married to Umar ibn al-Khattab and they had 1 son, Zaid. So the Prophet left behind no male progeny. And that's why the Quran says, مَا كَانَ مُحَمَّدٌ أَبَا أَحَدٍ مِّن رِجَالِكُمْ وَلَكِنْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَخَاتَمَ النَّبِيِّ. Allah says, the Prophet is not the father of any men amongst you. He is the messenger of Allah and he's the final Prophet. Now, there are 2 ways of establishing lineage. Lineage. One is the matrilineal lineage, which is via your mother. And the other one is patrilineal lineage, which is via your father. Patrilineal lineage is part of Arab custom, always has been, and it's enshrined in the Quran. Allah says in Surah Al-Ahzab, verse 85, Uda'uhum li'aba'ihim. Call them by their father's names. So I am Faiq ibn Muhammad, ibn Abdullah ibn Toha. All my whole lineage is along my father's line. So the Prophet, and there are some societies where the line is matrilineal, like for example, there's an interesting example I'm going to give you now. There's a tribe in North Africa, you'll find them in Algeria, in Niger, and in Mali. They call the Tuareg tribe, T-U-A-R-E-G. You must have read about them. They're also the people who assisted Gaddafi in his struggle, fought for him. The Tuareg tribe are Muslims, but they have a matrilineal system, you'll find the Tuareg, the men cover their faces, the women don't. Interesting. Interesting. Now you may say, well, the men cover their faces because of the dust, but the women live in the same area, why don't they cover their faces? Secondly, your status is determined by your mother, not by your father, in the Tuareg tribe. The feminists would love this. Thirdly, the women are all educated, the men are all illiterate. Fourthly, the women own all the movable assets in the community, like all the camels and the sheep, and they own all that. And they're Muslims. Imagine a tribe of Muslims, big, massive tribe, dominated by the mothers. So, Islam then has this patrilineal lineage. So the lineage, Hassan and Hussein was not the sons of Fatima. Hassan and Hussein were the sons of Ali. And Ali was the son of Abu Talib. And so the line goes up. Doesn't go via the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So yes, there are people who are family of the related, but they're not direct descendants. There's no such a thing as I'm a direct descendant of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Then there are other people who are related via his uncles, his cousin Abu Talib and Hamza and so forth and so on. There are people in Makkah who are called Sayyids. They take their family relationship way before the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, from his father's time already. But direct descendants, there are no direct descendants of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So, we have said that when the Prophet was asked, what is our mission and duty? He said, I've come to nobilize people, to empower them, to give them status in the dunya. Ibn Mas'ud, because people have this, people say, you know, but you see, we need the spirituality in our lives. Our lives are, there's something missing. Something is missing. Quran? No, not enough. Sunnah? No, not enough. Muhammad's example and his life? No, not enough. We need something more. مَا يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولِ I quoted the verse where Allah says, he who is obedient to Allah and His Messenger, they will be with the prophets and all the good people on Day of Qiyamah. Ibn Mas'ud says, radiallahu ta'ala, لَيْسَ مِنْ عَمَلٍ يُقَرِّبُ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ إِلَّا وَقَدْ أَمَرْتُكُمْ بِهِ Listen to the words of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This hadith is quoted, by the way, in the book Ar-Risala, which is a book written by Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah. First book written on Islamic jurisprudence. He quotes this hadith. He says, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Ibn Mas'ud says, there is no act, there is not a single act or deed which will bring you close to Jannah except I have taught it to you and I've given it to you. وَلَا عَمَلْ يُقَرِّبُ إِلَى النَّارِ إِلَّا وَقَدْ نَهَيْتُكُمْ عَنِ And there is not a single act which will keep you away from the Jahannam, but I have prohibited you from doing it. So the people who come today, they say, there are other things also which will bring us to Jannah, excluding what the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had said to us. So I received an email the other day inviting people to have Maulud every Friday night. A few years ago, I wasn't ready to talk about this issue. And I said what will happen eventually is we will go to such extremes. These celebrations will become extreme forms of, you have extreme sports. Starts with driving at 40 kilometers an hour, it goes up to 500 kilometers an hour. So now with Mawlud, we're also now on steroids. We've gone from the Panado stage. We're now on steroids. We're now driving at speeds that will kill us. So it's now, first it was Rabiul Awal. First it was the 12th my father celebrated and his father. Then the month of Rabiul Awal, now it is every Friday night. And a hadith I quoted about salawat on the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to inspire people to attend these gatherings. But show me a hadith where the Nabi says you must gather at a mosque on a Friday night and make his mawlud. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, yes, you must put salawat on him. We know when. He told us when. When we sit in the salah, in the tashahud, in the sujood, we can make salawat on him. After the salah, we make salawat on him. On the day of Jummah, we make salawat on him. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah commands us to do that. But where does this new thing come from? You see, so we add. We say, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not enough. You haven't given us enough. We are insulting the Prophet and the Quran. We are saying, Salah, key to Jannah, not enough. You said enough, not enough. We have to do this. Now, I'm not saying it is right or it is wrong. But I'm not condemning it. I'm saying, is this our purpose for coming here? You know, we lived in a time called apartheid. We were subjugated physically, politically, economically, culturally, mentally, physically. Oh, we had all kinds of... People died in prison because of apartheid. It was like being in a shipwreck. It's like a ship that crashed for us. And we took to the lifeboats. What were the lifeboats? We visited the Kramats. We had our picnics there. Because we couldn't go anywhere else. You couldn't go to Kirstenbosch Gardens to go and have a sandwich. Not allowed. You couldn't go sit in Kensington on the beach. No, not allowed. You couldn't go to Gordon's Bay and sit on the beach or have a flat there. Not allowed. You had to stay in the Opiflakte and the Bosses, so let's say. And the only places you could go to for recreation was you could go to the Kramat, you could go... The only way you could get onto the mountain was to go to Belsfontein. The only way you could get to Constantia was to go to the Kramat. Those were the lifeboats we had. We celebrate every tradition because those were the lifeboats in the time of oppression. Now the oppression is gone. Apartheid is gone. Now what? Now we should take the opportunity to build a new ship. The real ship of Islam. But since we've been living in lifeboats for so long, we think these lifeboats have now become the new ship. And in fact, what we're doing is, we're creating more lifeboats and more lifeboats and more lifeboats. We're retreating into ourselves in a country that needs us so much. People are looking for Islam. Where are we? Our young ulama, where are they? No, they invite us to what? To come to a masjid on a Friday night and to make mawlud. And the world is looking for Islam outside the masjid. People looking for Islam in the marketplaces. Young people are looking for Islam. Ulama should be doing research. No. I'm not saying they're wasting their time. I'm saying we live in a new era. We live in the we have to call people to Islam. And we must follow the Sunnah of Muhammad. That is our yardstick. And as I said to you, how do they justify all these things? People justify going here. People justify doing this. People justify doing that. Prophet never did any of the things which they're doing. So what do they say? They say, as I said, they say this is bid'atul hasana. This is a good bid'ah. And we, ulama, some of us say, we support this good Because, you see, Islam is too weak to keep our children out of the clubs. So we create something else for them. We put the lights off for them. We dance and we say this is dhikr. And we say this is salawat. We say, isn't it better? لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. What have you done your duty as a father for your children? When your children need you on a Friday night and your wife needs you on a Friday night, what are you doing in the mosque after Isha? After Isha, you should go home. Spend time with your wife and your children and your family. That's your responsibility. Prophet said, the best of you are best to their wives and their children. Sometimes I think it's just another excuse not to be at home where the children are crying. When the wife is a bit moody, she says, a molad mag vanana. We got it all wrong. These young ulama who are arranging these, think about your duty and responsibility. Your responsibility is islahul ard. You must reform the world. This is your job. Do your research, publish books. Teach the people the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they created this big bag called bid'atul hasana. And everything they throw in there which they cannot justify in terms of the Quran and Sunnah. It's a parallel sharia. It's a parallel deen. Nothing to do with Islam. In fact, the Prophet has condemned it. Iyyakum wa muhtathati al-umur. Prophet said, I warn you about innovations in my deen, in this deen, the deen of Allah. Inna kulla muhtathatin bid'ah. Every innovation in my deen is a bid'ah. And every bid'ah, dalala, misguidance. وَكُلُّ دَلَالَةٍ فِي النَّارِ. And every misguidance is in the hellfire. I'm not saying so. I'm not preaching hellfire, doom and gloom. I'm telling you what your prophet said. The Sahaba used to tell the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, what must we do? We can't, there's so much to do in the deen, we can't fulfill it properly. How do we fulfill the deen which you have come with? We say, Muhammad, you have come with a half a deen. You have come with an incomplete deen. We must add to this deen of your spirituality. This, all these things. And what about the Quran which says, Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum? Today I have perfected for you your deen. Wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati, and I have perfected for you my ni'mah upon you, my favor, my blessing. The blessing of the hidayah of tawheed and iman. وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا, and I've chosen for you Islam as your deen. What about that? Are we telling Allah also? Ya Allah, not enough for us. And you know what you will say on the day of Qiyamah? Everybody is involved in these deviant issues, practices that has swept like a tsunami over my community. I cry about this. A movement away from the Quran, alienation from the Quran. Only thing we do about the Quran is we read it and we have competitions about it. But we don't study the essence of this book. We don't love this book above all other books. And we don't love the Prophet ﷺ above all other people. We say, no, my sheikh sits here, and my sheikh sits in Cyprus, and my sheikh sits in Yemen, and my sheikh sits in Australia, and my sheikh is in New York, and my sheikh is in London. I say, I am a Muslim, my leader is Muhammad ﷺ, and my imam is the Quran. Because that is what I'm taught. the day of Qiyamah. Because people are people. Ordinary people. My people are incapable. Ordinary people. Not everybody is an alim. So they say, my sheikh, and this advert, this email that goes around, says, you know why you must come to these gatherings? Because Mawlana so-and-so comes, Sheikh so-and-so, they mention about six or seven Mawlanas and Sheikhs. Has this now become the deen? That we must attend things because Sheikh so-and-so attends it. Have we drifted so far away from the Prophet ﷺ? Normally we would say, come because, you know, Prophet ﷺ said you must come. Come to Jummah because Allah says you must come to Jummah. Come for Salah because Allah says come for Salah. What do we do today? Say, no, you see, why must you come? Sheikh so-and-so lives in wherever he lives, you know, he comes, you know, that's why you must come. Oh, yeah, we've shifted completely away from our deen, completely away from the deen. Completely away. We act contrary to the deen and we use examples which is not part of the deen. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. Where's our example, the best example? فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ, in the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So on the day of judgment, all the poor people that was misled, and mind you, there are also good people, good teachers, who come from all over the world. Also exceptions. You will say, قَالُوا رَبَّنَا. Allah will ask you, why, you know, I sent you, Muhammad, I sent you the Quran, why did you do all these other things? And what will we say? رَبَّنَا إِنَّا أَطَعْنَا سَادَتَنَا وَكُبَرَاءَنَا فَأَضَلُّنَا السَّبِيلَ. We will say, oh Allah, we followed our leaders, our sheikhs, our maulanas, our imams, our spiritual leaders. We will say, we followed them. سَادَتَنَا وَكُبَرَاءَنَا فَأَضَلُّنَا السَّبِيلَ. And what did they do? They misled us, Ya Allah. رَبَّنَا أَوْ اللَّهُ آتِهِمْ ضِعْفَيْنِ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ وَلْعَنْهُمْ لَعْنًا كَبِيرًا. And you will say, oh Allah, give them a double punishment and curse them with a mighty curse. I say, if you want to mislead, mislead yourself. Don't take other people with you. If you want to do the things which you do with an alim or an army, wherever you may be, lock yourself up in your house, in your room, and do it by yourself. At least you'll only be answerable to yourself. By sending emails and inviting the world to something which the Prophet never invited to, nor does Allah say you must invite to these things, you are going to be answerable and responsible for that false adhan. Because we have one adhan. That adhan goes off 5 times every day. And you're invited to come to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have adhan for hajj. But you must come for hajj. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, you have listened to what I've said? Think about what I've said. And ask Allah for guidance. Ask Allah for guidance. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us to the Quran. May Allah make us of the followers of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah make us of those who say, when we ask, who are you? We say, I am a Muslim. Not I belong to this group and that group and that group. People say, Anbibu wa jay? Anbibu? La hawla wa la quwwata. Let us go back to our roots. Let us be amongst those strangers that the Prophet referred to. Those who do the good and cling to the good in times of fasad.